beyond normal. We're going to be talking about this all year long, beyond normal. How many of you feel like life has been beyond normal? How many of you want to get back to normal? Good, there's so many of us that admit that. I want to say to you, we've never been called to be normal. We're, as this old phrase used to go, we're a peculiar tribe of brethren. We're different. In Jesus, we're beyond normal. So I want to remind you that Jesus is something that is so more important for us than we could ever imagine. And that's this. He's unchanging. Check this out in Hebrews 13:8. If you need some encouragement today, if you need encouragement in 2021 already, you're like, gosh, it just doesn't feel a whole lot different. Well, in some ways it isn't. But listen to this. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do you need that today? Do you need to be encouraged with that, that he doesn't change? Your world's going to change. Your body's going to change. Your family's going to change. Your relationships will change. Life will change. Jesus Christ will not. I hope that's encouraging to you. And if not, I want to remind you that this unchanging God is a God that does things like this. John 10:10, Jesus Christ says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy." That's normal. That's normal. Stealing, killing, destroying. That's what the enemy does. That's what the devil does. That's what this world's about. But Jesus said, abnormally, "I've come that they may have life and have it to the full." We just celebrated Christmas, right? We're so excited about that, or we weren't. But we understand that this is Emmanuel, where God comes to be with his people. And why did he come to be with his people? To give us life. And not give us just a little bit. I don't want to give them too much life because they might get excited. No, I came to give them life abundantly. That you would have life and have it to the full. This is the Jesus that never changes, everybody. He's the one that gives life and gives it to the full. But he also, we go, and we talked about this just a couple weeks ago, in John 16:33, he says, "I've said these things. I've told you the bad stuff's going to happen. I've told you that I'm going to be with you all the time. I've told you these things so that in me, you may have peace. In the world, you're going to have tribulation." How many of you use the word tribulation very much? Some of you understand, like, the end times, there's this tribulation. Is anybody experiencing any tribulation today? Has there been any challenges this year? It's 2021. Has anybody had any challenges in the last 3 days? Any tribulation? I don't know. You're like, I don't know, use that word. Okay, trouble, problems, frustrations. If you're like, no, 2021's been devoid of that so far. Good for you. Praise God. Go back then. 2020? Well, he says, take heart. I've overcome the world. So I want to ask you a couple of questions. First one, what's normal? When you hear the word normal, what comes to your mind? What's normal? Familiar. Very good. What else? What's that? Comfortable. Yikes. Yep.
Eating out?
That's good, Jackie. That's so real. Well, it's normal. Eating out. That's good. Now, there's a few of you that are like, no, we don't eat out, but that's become normal for sure. What were you saying, Ben? You have a voice like your dad's. Puberty is an amazing thing. Great job. Oh, no. Nobody knows who I'm talking to? Come on, Hayden Murphy. Nobody knows. You said no masks? That would be normal? That used to be, right? Familiar, comfortable. Something. What's that? Hugs. Oh, gosh. You're stirring me up, you know? Your cousin. What do you say, buddy?
Going to school.
Some people standing there letting people know, let's get these schools open. That would be normal, right? Back to normal. Comfortable. Known. Typical. Expected. A societal standard. This is normal. These are norms. These are what we can control. We feel comfortable about that. Familiar with it. Why is this so appealing to us? What do you think? If I'm in control, then I decide. It's predictable. I can plan. I mean, it's funny. I'm not really much of a planner. By God's grace, He gave me an amazing wife who plans really well, so much better than me. He's given me a ministry partner in John who's quite a planner, and he helps keep me dialed in. But I find myself, with regards to normal, being comfortable because there's plans and expectations and there's framework, and it can be known. Why is normal so appealing to you? It's easier. It's easy. Is it possible for us that normal is appealing because it's what we can not only control, but it's how we can maybe control other people? I think maybe some of our desires to get back to normal with regards to what's happened in our society is that we were at a better spot when it was normal. I had better authority. I had better control. I had better approval ratings. I had better whatever. Maybe normal is about us and not about God. Do you know that we love normal so much that when things change, right, and it becomes abnormal for us and we're in a tough spot where, unlike what Hayden said, masks become normal, right? We turn it into a little phrase called new normal. And so why do we call it new normal? What do you guys think? I mean, there's a couple obvious answers, and we can go for those to start out with, but what do you guys think? Yeah. Say it again. Claim control of it. All right.
It makes it feel better if we call it a new normal.
New normal. Have you guys heard that the phrase normal is actually only on a dishwasher? Or a wash machine? Normal. You know, it would be abnormal as if my kids knew that it actually said that on one of those things. It's routine. Yeah. It's something that is now acceptable. To who? To me. Let's not fight against it. We just kind of go for it. Kind of roll over and tickle my belly kind of a thing. You're like, I didn't need that picture. We have this phrase, so maybe instead of Happy New Year, I could say Happy New Normal. Is there a new normal? Even if we were to go back to what's comfortable, known, freed up, financially viable, whatever things we might talk about, would it be good? Would it be new? Or would it just be some more normal? I want to ask you, what if we as Christ ones, little Christ, Christians, are called to live beyond normal? Not normal, but beyond it. For the next 12 months, we're going to be looking through the lens of the Bible, God's people in the past, and then for us, God's people today. We're going to look at normal versus beyond normal. What is normal versus what's not normal? Beyond normal. John Hunter, who for lots of years was an elder for us, lovingly said, look, everybody wants to get back to normal. What if we help people get beyond normal? You know, that really stuck with us. And so that's going to be our view for 2021, is beyond normal. We might even make t-shirts, y'all. So get ready. Because once you have a t-shirt, it's legit. But I want to give you a couple of thoughts here. And then we're going to go into really, really ancient story. Normal builds its own kingdom where we can be in control. Beyond normal seeks first Jesus' kingdom. Normal actually hates its enemies, and everybody accepts that because, well, they're your enemies. But beyond normal loves enemies and actually blesses those who persecute them. Gosh, can we just erase that one? That would be so much easier for me. My first thought when people persecute me is, oh, yeah? What about you? Does anybody else have that feeling like somebody's opposed to you? Is your first response, well, God bless you. There's some stuff for us to work through. That's beyond normal. Normal is, you got a thick candy shell. I mean, you're just mad at them, right? Just for whatever they said to you. Finally, normal stays away from giants or challenges. Beyond normal trusts in the power of God. In Numbers 13, we find God's chosen people who had literally just seen some of the most phenomenal miracles ever known to man. Arguing, grumbling, complaining. God gave them an opportunity to see him for how powerful he was. If you haven't read the story in Exodus about the plagues that came upon Egypt, really the first three came upon Egypt and the Israelites. After that, it was just on the Egyptians. And they got set free. And they came to this spot where it was just them and a sea in front of them and the army of Egypt behind them. And they were upset. You brought us out here to kill us. That's normal, right? Complaining and grumbling. Well, God went abnormal, beyond normal with them, and separated the Red Sea. They walked across it on dry land. That's beyond normal. And then their enemies chased them into that dry land. And once they got through, God brought the water in on the enemies and drowned all of them. Now that's normal, that you shouldn't actually be able to walk through. And yet, God continually shows his people this. In just like a couple of months, they get to this promised land where God is saying, look, it's for you. I want you to go in and I want you to spy this land out and see how amazing it is because I'm giving it to you. Church, hear that really clearly. Jesus came to give to you. He came to give you life. And we just read it. What kind of life did he come to give us? Is it abundant or he came to give us a stay in line, do what I've told you to do, be good little perfect people? No. He's like, look, I've come to give you life and give it to you to the full, an abundant life. And we're like, that's maybe, depends on if I define it as abundant. Look, I want to get into this story. I want to tell you that it involves a guy who had a name change. His name was Hoshea, which means he saves. He was asked to be one of the spies that go into this beautiful promised land. But before he got sent in there, Moses changed his name to Joshua, which means God saves. Look, dude, your name means that you're powerful. That's cool. We all prefer that. That would be normal. make me look good. But I'm changing your name to God Saves. Joshua. Yeshua. Jesus. God Saves. That's beyond normal. It's what you can't control. And so he sends these people, these 12 different representatives of the tribes of Israel, sends them into the promised land. They go into this promised land and they check it out. And we'll pick this up in Numbers 13, 26 through 33. They went there for 40 days. And then they came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the people of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation, and they showed them the fruit of the land. By the way, what we didn't read, you can go back and read this, and if you're following along with the reading plan that we have, Pastor John's put it out, that there's a lot of really cool stuff you get to read, and it kind of packs you with what we're going to be talking about and what we don't necessarily mention. But the fruit was so abundant, the grapes were so huge, that it took two dudes to carry a bunch of grapes. They had some bumper crops in this promised land. So they brought back word to them and all the congregation, showed them the fruit of the land. And then they told them, "We came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey. And this is its fruit. However," there's always a but, right? I mean, it's a really cool place, but "the people who dwell in the land are strong. And the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there." We'll talk about them in a little bit. "The Amalekites dwell in the land of the Negeb. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the hill country. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the Jordan." They're like, it's a great place, but nah, it's difficult. There's some challenges. I mean, I'm giving you a promised land, God said. And they're like, yeah, but there's people there already. And they're tough. But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let's go up at once and occupy it. Let's do this. For we are well able to overcome it." Then the man who had gone up with him said, "We're not able to go up against the people, for they're stronger than we are." So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we've gone to spy it out is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people that we saw in it are of great height. And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who come from the Nephilim. And we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seemed to them." We were tiny little pukey grasshoppers to ourselves, but we obviously were probably that way to them. Now, this idea of Nephilim, two different views on this. They were either the byproduct of fallen angels that had had sex with human beings and had this combination half angel, half human. And a lot of people are there. I'm telling you right now, I'm being honest with you, I'm not there. I am at the spot, though, that these people were giants. And I don't just mean like they were big. They were considerably bigger than everybody else. And it was real. No matter what they were bigger than everybody else by quite a bit. This is where Goliath comes from, and you remember that story, and we'll actually talk about that in a few months. So the normal is, yeah, cool place, bro, but really, really strong people, really tall. The land itself even eats people up. Yeah, it's flowing with milk and honey, but they complain and they whine. And they grumble. The beyond normal, Caleb's like, "Oh, no. We got this. God called us to do this. Let's go." So I ask you just really quick. I know this is an ancient story, and for some of you, you're like, how does this apply to me? Think about it. God's called you to a number of things. God's called you to a world that is really jacked up, to be in this world but not of it. It's beyond normal to be in it but not of it, not to do like the world does, not to fear like the world fears, and not to fear what the world fears, but to actually focus on God. So let's look at a couple of examples here of normal and beyond normal. We'll keep going. We're in Numbers 14. We'll go 1 through 4 real quick. So these 12 spies, two of them are like, no, no, it's a good thing for us. Let's go. 10 of them are like, uh-uh. We're like grasshoppers. We'll get squashed. Then all the congregation raised a loud cry. The 10 influenced everybody. And the people wept that night. And all the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, "Would that we had died in the land of Egypt." They whined and complained when they were in Egypt. They get out by the mighty hand of God, and now they want, well, we should have just died there. Or we could just go ahead and die in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become a prey. Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to one another, "Let's choose a leader and go back to Egypt." Egypt was normal. Slavery was normal. Hey, I know it's a mess, but it was home. We lived. We're going to find out later that they had better food there than they had in the desert. Because, I mean, shoot, normal is eat what you want. Beyond normal is I'm going to cut out carbs. Sugar. That sounds really personal. Sorry. I've heard about it. Only Matt has done it. I haven't. But normal, you guys, is fear and doubt and actually grumbling. But those we're going to talk about next week. When you grumble, you don't just grumble. You grumble against God. Let's look at some beyond normal, though. These guys are whining and complaining. We just need to go back to Egypt. We need to go back to slavery. Verse 5, "Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the people of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, they tore their clothes, and they said to all of the congregation of the people of Israel, 'The land which we passed through to spy it out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord. And do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them.' Then all the congregation said to stone them with stones, but the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting to all the people of Israel." Look, I'm going to go quick because I have a young man. We have a young man among us who's going to talk about this beyond normal versus normal in his own life. So let me just say this. God is actually in the beyond normal, and he blesses it. As for the normal, he often just flat out destroys that. Love to give you a chance to go on your own and read Numbers 14, 20 through 38. I won't have time this morning to read it to you. I'll say this to you in verse 24. It says, "My servant Caleb," God says, "because he has a different spirit, because he's beyond normal and has followed me fully." Caleb, by the way, means all heart. What did Jesus call us to love him with, friends? All of everything that we have. We pick and choose. God says, give it all. He says, I'm actually going to bring him into the land into which he went, and his descendants shall possess it. You know what he says to the Israelites? You want to die in the desert? Wish granted. For the 40 days that you went and spied out all this and could have seen my glory and my power and my invitation, for those 40 days, I'm going to give you 1 year each in the desert until the whole generation that said no to me on behalf of their children, on behalf of their comfort zone, on behalf of normal, they're going to die right there. The only two that won't are Joshua and Caleb, because they went beyond normal and they trusted me. And so I ask you this morning, friends, where's your focus going to be in 2021? Are you going to focus on what's normal and controlled and everybody thinks is great? Would you focus on beyond normal? Look, I'm not opposed to being able to have this place packed and singing out loud and masks off. I prefer that. My kids going to school. Businesses being open. My friends not losing their jobs. I'm down for that. What I'm not down for is getting all that so I can say no thanks to God. I got this covered. Maybe we need beyond normal. And maybe normal needs to be blown up. It's already happening. Will you join God in it? Look, I could say a lot more, but I don't want to. I want to hear from my dear friend, J.D. Merwin. If you don't know him, you're going to meet him now. He is the oldest of John and Chrissy Merwin, and he's going to talk about his normal versus beyond normal. Will you give him a hand?
Hello. Hello, Crosswater. How you doing? So I don't have a whole lot of time and have a lot to say, so I'll get straight to it. This year, I get the opportunity to go around the world for 11 months, loving people and spreading the gospel. And I'm also here to talk about how I've gone from a normal life to a beyond normal life in really the last year. So throwback to last March, I'm finishing my last year at school at Grand Canyon University in Phoenix, Arizona, and have a couple jobs in sports and about to graduate before I turn 21. So I'm like, okay, life's looking normal. I'm on my way to basically the American dream, right? I get a job quickly, get my house, and then I just got to find a wife eventually, right? So that's where my mind was at, was looking for those things. And then, of course, March hits, right? COVID hits. I'm sent back home here, which I love my parents, but did not want to be living with them after school. So I lose both my jobs, and I'm still in this place where I'm looking for normal. Like, I'm looking to get back to what feels normal, to get a job and just be able to move out as quickly as I possibly can. And that left me in a place where I was feeling unmotivated, without joy, and just led to disappointment after disappointment, because job after job looked like I was going to get them, and the door would shut on me last second, and it was confusing. So the end of the summer comes around, and I'm just like, I can't do this anymore. Like, this isn't right. I don't have any motivation, purpose, joy, nothing. So where do I get that but God, right? And I knew that. So I fixed my eyes on him, and my prayer changed from, God, can you change my circumstances? Give me this job, to God, change my heart in these circumstances. Because that's what we can control right now, is growing closer to God. So a few days later, after I kind of have this conversation with God, I come across a post on Instagram from the World Race, which is this organization that sends kids or young adults 21 to 35 out into the world to serve for 11 months. And the post is like, hey, 3 days to apply for trips in January. And I'm like, okay, I mean, that's cool. I'll apply like real quick. It looked kind of fun. But I really wasn't like, oh, I'm going to do this. That just sounded crazy. But I get a call a few days later saying, hey, you got accepted, but you have a week to decide whether you want to do this. So I'm like, yeah, okay, cool, thanks. But like, probably not, because like 2 week span, I went from not even thinking about something like this to having to commit to leaving what I'm comfortable with for a year, right? But thinking about it as that week went on, I felt God put on my heart that, JD, you need to get uncomfortable. Because if you're staying here, you're not going to get uncomfortable. You're not going to grow in relationship with me, and you really won't have a purpose. Like, I felt that, or I knew that at least, that if I stayed here, I just wouldn't be pushed to more. So I literally looked up to God. I'm like, okay, shoot, are we doing this? And I felt like butterflies and a yes, like we're going. So I'm like, all right, cool, committed to doing that. Luckily, I wasn't leaving right then because my mind was very much in like, oh, my social media is going to look super cool. I'm going to meet cool people. I'm going to go see the world. Like, those were also reasons to say yes, which I'm grateful for because I said yes. But at the same time, my mind was not ready to be leaving at that time. So the last 4 months, I've spent just trying to grow and prepare my heart and mind to be ready to leave. And the mindset that's really driven me in that is to look at my life now from eternity, right? So we're going to die. Death is real. And when I'm in heaven looking back at my life, am I going to be like, okay, I use that for like a purpose. I lived a meaningful life. And that's you know, normal beyond normal, right? If we look back at our life, let's say you're on a beach, right? All the sand is your existence, and you pick up one grain of sand. That's basically our life, right? It's so small in the grand scheme of our existence, but this grain of sand is so, so important because this is the only chance we get to decide whether we want to follow Jesus and we end up in heaven or hell, right? This is so important. This little grain of sand is the only chance we get to do that. And followers of Jesus, this is our only chance to tell people about that, right? This generation of people is responsible for this generation of people. People 150 years ago can't tell people around the world about Jesus now. So this perspective kind of flipped my way of thinking. And it went into everything. Like, how am I using my social media? Is it pointing to myself or is it pointing to God? Am I looking for a job to make me money to fill myself up or just to be interested in the job? Or am I using that to impact others around me? Or conversations, are those just surface level? Are we just talking about politics, sports, The Bachelor, and that's it? Or are we having more meaning with our conversations with people? Because that's where it goes from normal to beyond normal. So often we and I conform to society so easily. Like when I'm around people that don't believe what I believe, I just kind of act like them or hide my light, hide my joy about Jesus, right? So I can make them feel more comfortable, but in reality, it's to make me feel more comfortable. So how do we go beyond normal, right? We stop dimming our light. When we're around people, be the same person, because when they see how you're filled with joy, filled with love, filled with purpose from God, that's when they're going to be like, okay, they're different. I want to know what they have, why God is so much different than living for worldly desires. Because like, if we call ourselves a follower of Jesus and we're not living a beyond normal life, I really don't know if we are followers of Jesus, because that's what it is. Jesus says, drop everything and follow me. And I'm definitely speaking from a place where I'm learning this and growing in this. I don't got it all figured out, of course, but we're getting there. So I'm taking this perspective. I'm leaving Friday to Georgia, and then the 12th, I'm going to Jaco, Costa Rica, and don't know where I'm going after that because COVID's kind of making it all up in the air, but be there for probably a month-ish. I'm going with a squad of about 50 people, mostly from the East Coast. Did not know any of them before this all began. And my team specifically is 6 people, including myself. And Jaco, Costa Rica, was a community that was really dark. People would avoid and not want to go to because of all the stuff happening. And this ministry, Ocean's Edge, which I'm working with, kind of moved there to change things, to brighten that community. So I'm really excited to see what they've been doing and be a part of that as well. And I'm also excited to see just how God uses us and how he propels this experience into the rest of my life. That was another big reason why I'm doing this, is because I wanted this to be, you know, the stepping stone for the rest of my adult life. So if you would like to be a part of it, you can, is it? Yeah, so at that link, jdmerwin.theworldrace.org, you can find my blogs that I've already written. I've written 3 or 4, I think. You can read those, and then you can follow along with my blogs as I go. I should be writing them weekly or every other week. You can subscribe and get alerts when you put your email in there. And you can also donate at that link if you would like to join me financially. Thank you to everybody who's already done that. So grateful. I'm going to be writing a blog this week on that. And if you want to pray for me, a verse to be thinking about is Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, and be constant in prayer. So, yeah. That's good. Oh, my goodness. Whew.
a little bit closer. You know what? Forget it. I've already hugged him, so. You guys, what do you want the end of your life to be like? Because you actually are going to choose that today. God is faithful to complete the work he began in you. I'm fortunate to have known JD since he was shorter than me, which was a long time ago, but he is my best friend's firstborn. And for him to be able to send his boy out to college was a challenge. And now he rejoices that his boy wants Jesus more than he wants comfort zone and the American dream. And so would you be encouraged and would you be challenged and would you be invited to live beyond normal because a young man has a God that has called him to do so, and now he's putting us on point. He's putting us on notice. He's putting us into a spot where we cannot just pray for him and give him money so he can go do it and we can learn about it, but that we would follow a young man's example because he's following Jesus. I don't know what all this looks like for you, and I'm going to try over the course of 12 months to unpack how this could look for us individually. You won't have JD's story. You won't have my story. You won't have anybody else's story. You'll have yours. Maybe it'll be something financial. Maybe it'll be something physical. Maybe it'll be something spiritual. Maybe you'll find time to cut out the 4 to 3.5 or more hours a day that you'll be in front of a screen being entertained. You could cut that in half and spend it in prayer, in God's word, in fellowship. Could you imagine that daily? Just 1 hour daily. Many of us, with regards to normal, will wait to get fed for Sunday. And we'll just do our thing all the rest of the days. God wants you, and he wants more from you. JD had asked that we would pray Romans 12:12 over him. And so I will ask that you guys stand as we pray for JD. If you're online, I hope you're standing. Don't cheat. God knows. Oh my goodness, that's so real. All right. Lord, we thank you so much for JD. We thank you for the life that you've given him. We thank you for the hope that he has in you. We thank you for the life, Lord, that he wants to share and the hope that he wants to share. The good news, Lord. We thank you for this passage that has been such a life changer for him, and he wants us prayed over him and thought about him and lived through him. And so, JD, may you rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you. May he give you peace. May he give you joy as you live for him. May you hunger and thirst for his righteousness, knowing that that's when you will be filled and nothing else will do. And if he chooses to give you a lady someday, chooses to give you a job someday, a house someday, may that all be secondary to the dream of living for him and his glory and being satisfied only by him. We pray for protection, Jesus, over your son as he goes. And we thank you for Hako and the opportunity he has to start there. We thank you for anything above and beyond, and absolutely beyond normal, but anything above and beyond the plans that he would already have. God, may he be satisfied in you, knowing that you never change. God, I thank you so much for JD and for the example he is in our lives. And we pray, Lord, that he would continue to find favor in your eyes. And he would continue to make your name known. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, bro. So, happy beyond normal to you. Before we go, I want to ask that we would be bold enough to pray. To pray together to pray for one another, to pray for ourselves, that our eyes would be open to beyond normal and we would join Jesus there. Not just do it because it's crazy, but do it because he's called us to. Look, there's more for us than what we see and what we feel and touch and even hear. But may he use those things to call us. So in the remaining just couple minutes, would you pray out loud? Ask God to have his way in you, to comfort you, to challenge you, to invite you to something more, and that you would join him there. So go ahead, right now. I'm going to keep my mic on because that records and all that. But you guys pray out loud. We did this last week. It's the Korean style of prayer. I pray in Jesus' name. You get to go to Korea and see those people crazy on fire for Jesus. But go ahead, out loud right now. Lord Jesus, we praise you for today. We know that apart from you, we can do nothing, but we're not apart from you. So may we do and believe the impossible. God, would you help us to not settle for normal? Would you help us to be just hungry and thirsty for your righteousness, which is beyond normal? It's not our own way. Our own way is unrighteous. And so, God, would you fill us up? Would you help us to change and be transformed and help transform others? God, may we see the opportunities and not run from them like Jonah, but run to them. May we be beyond normal because of your grace and your mercy. God, I trust you and I thank you. I thank you for the conviction that JD brought, that you brought through him. God, I have whined and complained about a number of things this year, and in particular, the things that have gone on in my family and how brokenhearted I am over that. But God, I want to stand for you in your glory. I want to continually point people to you, especially my people. God, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.